First Canto, Second Canto, Chapter 1, Text 10. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Can you repeat that very Srimad Bhagavatam? Repeat. I shall recite before you. Because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna.
Because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna.
One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Giver of salvation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a long purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom, and the system of receiving Vedic knowledge is called Avaroha Panta, or the process of receiving transcendental knowledge through bona fide disciplic succession. For advancement of material knowledge, there is a need for personal ability and researching aptitude. But in the case of the spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood to be something like magical feats, whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects spiritual knowledge into his disciple as if surcharging him with the electric current. Prabhupada mentioned one so-called incarnation guru in India that he did something like that, and he told his disciple, "Now I've given you everything, I have nothing left. It's all been transferred." That's not the way it works. Some think like that. Okay, I took initiation, now I have everything because I got a great guru. But the effort has to be made by the student also. But it's not based on any kind of material qualification or material endeavor, but on the desire to please Krishna, the desire to surrender, and the humility. Then the spiritual master is pleased, and then Krishna gives everything. He can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and service attitude. The idea is that both the spiritual master and the disciple must be bona fide. In this case, the spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, is ready to recite exactly what he learned from his great father, Srila Vasudeva. And the disciple, Maharaj Prakrit, is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. That's what I was trying to discuss yesterday, faith. That means you fully believe that this is it. If I can really become a devotee of Krishna, I get everything. That's faith. And then one pushes on with faith, believing that, you know, there really is Krishna at the end. And then makes rapid progress. If one is just doing it for whatever reason, for fame or for, you know, prestige or just for curiosity, he won't make very much advancement. Even though he may do apparently something more nice, more spectacular, collect more money or build bigger temples or whatever. But if he's doing it for himself, then he's not going to get Krishna. The teaching is imparted by the Lord Himself in the pages of Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that Krishna is everything, and surrender to Him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Sukadev Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Prakrit did. And professional teacher of the Bhagavatam and the pseudo-devotees whose faith is based on 1 week's hearing are different from Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Prakrit. Srila Vasudeva explained Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami from the very beginning of it, the Janmadi Asya, first verse. And so Sukadev Goswami also explained it to the king. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurusha in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. In his devotional feature as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself in his devotional attitude, descended on earth to bestow special favors upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. There are 2 verses particularly suitable to offer as prayers to this Mahapurusha feature of the Lord. It's from the 11th canto, 5:33 and 34. Deyam sada paribhavagyam abhishta doham tirthaspadam shivavarinchi nutam sharanyam brityartiham pranatapaya bhavabdipotam vande maha purushite charanaravindam. My dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service and are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and therefore even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter of your lotus feet. Taktva saduschaja surepshitata jalakshmim dharmishta arya vachisatad agad aranyam maya mrigam daitayepshita anvaidavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by great demigods. Being a most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to the Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased away after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shamsundar. There's no what?
No translation for the verse.
I went in this, I can look things up in other camps. Ah. It just has the Sanskrit here, but I went to the 11th canto. In other words, Purusha means the enjoyer, and Mahapurusha means the supreme enjoyer and the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Purusha and Prakriti. In India, sometimes on the public bathrooms, the men's room has Purusha and the woman has Prakriti. So you can remember Srimad. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is called a Mahapurushika. Anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, one who is able to award liberation. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Prakrit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam And there was none so qualified as Sukadeva Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett, respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. Maharaj Prickett attained salvation by hearing only, and Sukadeva attained salvation by reciting only. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of nine devotional activities, and the strenuously following the principles either in all or by part, one can attain the absolute plane. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Janmad Yasya, first verse, up to the last one in the 12th canto, was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami for the attainment of salvation by Maharaj Prickett. In the Padma Purana, it is mentioned that Gautama Muni advised Maharaj Ambarish to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Sukadeva Goswami. And herein it is confirmed that Maharaj Ambarish heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to the end as it was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. One who is actually interested in the Bhagavatam, therefore, must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here and a portion from there. One must follow in the footsteps of the great kings like Maharaj Ambarish and Maharaj Prickett and hear it from a bona fide representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Om Agana Timinandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svakadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha Manchakapa Turvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhagale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Nam Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Satane. So from Sukadeva comes a line, teachers, and Prabhupada is definitely one of them, to give it so that we can hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly, not just hear a little bit of it, a little bit here, a little bit there, but get the full explanation, getting from a realized soul. In this verse there's a word ashu, right? It means very soon, quickly. Bhagavad Gita says that even if one's very sinful, but if he somehow surrenders, then he can very quickly attain peace. Krishna says like that, it's easy, it's joyful. Lord Shiva is called Ashutosh. Tosha means happiness. So he's very easily pleased. So people worship him and he quickly gives them. But most of the people that worship Shiva, they want material gain. It's possible to worship Shiva for spiritual gain and worship him as a guru, and you can give that also. But mostly they're worshiping for material gain, most of Shiva devotees. Because they think he's the husband of Durga, the material energy, and then they can give anything and get rich and powerful, and people do. But he's Asutosh. Krishna is not so easily pleased. To give bhakti, Krishna doesn't give that so cheaply. Material benefits he can give easily, up to mystic powers and all those kind of things. Maybe generally through the agency of Shiva, but bhakti, because in bhakti Krishna is giving himself, so he doesn't just give that to just anybody. Material gain he'll give to anybody. All they have to do is do the puja, do the worship, do the yajna, do the tapasya, whatever it is. But for bhakti, Krishna examines the heart. That's why we find sometimes in our efforts to make advancements, is some very difficult things come up. That's to see if you really want it, that you're going to try anyway. And then when we really say, okay, I have to depend on Krishna, I can't do this myself, then Krishna helps. As soon as a devotee understands, somebody sent a picture of a baby elephant fell off a little, there's like a steep hill, and the mother elephant reached down and picked that baby elephant up with the trunk and lifted him up. So we see those kind of things all the time, and a baby gets in a helpless condition and he's completely dependent on the mother and the father, and then they come and they help him. When someone's not dependent, no one can help them. If they think, I don't need any help, I'm fine, I'm powerful, I'm old enough now, you can't tell me what to do, then the mother, the father, the teacher, no one can help anymore. But when someone admits he's helpless, so devotees always feel like that in front of Krishna. And then they depend on Krishna, and then they do things that are spectacular. We have the very near example of Prabhupada. And many devotees actually have done such amazing things by just feeling fully dependent, wanting to please Prabhupada, wanting to please Krishna. Without, like those first devotees in the book of Mukunda Maharaj, which just came out about the founding of the movement in New York, but more it was about San Francisco and London. So when they went to San Francisco, it's quite miraculous, but there was only, first it was just Mukunda and his wife, and they were going to go to India. It was very interesting. But Mukunda was, he had helped Prabhupada. He said Prabhupada, when he was leaving for India, he told Prabhupada, I think someone should go to San Francisco because there's a lot of young people gathering there and they're looking for a spiritual life, all the hippies. Then they talked about other things, and when he was leaving, Prabhupada said, maybe you could go to San Francisco. And he didn't plan to. He was on his way to India, already had tickets. But they were driving across America, all the way across. And they stopped to visit his old friend who became Shamasundar. Told him about Prabhupada. And then as they were leaving that place, Shamasundar said, I think we should go to San Francisco because I have a lot of friends there. We can make a temple. So then they changed their mind. They sold the tickets to India, went to San Francisco. And they didn't have any knowledge of anything practically, except they dealt with Prabhupada for a few months. Only Mukunda and his wife, and the other ones that went, except Jamuna, had met Prabhupada for a few days, maybe, or a week or two. And they made a temple and made so many devotees. They didn't have, all they had was the one first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They didn't have any other books, there were no other books. They couldn't get any more to distribute. They had their beads and they had chanting, and they just had this experience of Prabhupada. So they had total faith. So they did these amazing things. And then they went to San Francisco, or to London. But then so many devotees have done so many things, starting temples all over the world, making big projects because of faith, because of depending on Krishna. As much as we can depend on Krishna, as much as we can admit, that's humility, to admit that I don't know anything, I'm Krishna knows so much greater, I'm small. But if I depend on Krishna, then can do anything, because Krishna is actually the doer. They say that disciples should remain a fool in front of the spiritual master. That means he should think, the spiritual master knows so much more than me, so I have to follow what he said. I'm a fool. Some think the spiritual master would tell him to do something, they say, oh no, I'm too stupid, I can't do that. No, I'm just a fool, I can't do that. You don't understand, Gurudev, I can't do that. That's not what it means. It means one feels the spiritual master is the one that knows something. I don't know anything, so I have to do whatever he says. Especially, if we take a vow to keep it, no matter how difficult it seems, there's always tests. So if we we should think very carefully. Many people rush into initiation or something and then they can't keep it up. Some are humble about it, so they remain, you know, favorable. Some become very puffed up. But Bhagavatam is there for all of us. So Sukhidev said, I'm reciting it because you are the most sincere devotee of the Lord. Krishna told Arjuna, I'm telling you the Bhagavad Gita because you're a devotee and you're my friend. A few times he said, that's why I'm speaking to you. So if we become a devotee, if we're sincere, we want to be a devotee of Krishna, then we can understand. There's many people that recite Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go around Vrindavan, especially in the Kartik season, you'll see, if you read Hindi, you see so many signboards. Bhagavad Katha by so-and-so, Maha, big long names they have. But most of them are Mayavadis, but they're advertising Bhagavatam. Or some are very famous, and they do these Bhagavad Saptaha. For 7 days, a few hours at night, they recite Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly 10th canto only. And the people come, they pay a lot of money, and huge crowds come, 100,000 people, and they listen. These people are very good at reciting and crying and emotions. But they're not, and the people think, well, I did that, then they don't change their life, nothing changes. They just sit through that. And they're thinking, well, that's how Sukadeva Goswami spoke for 1 week. That was 24 hours a day, though. And Maharaj Prickett left his body at the end of that. It's not the same as Sukadeva Goswami did not receive the king, although he was still the king at the time. Well, he could have. Sukadeva Goswami didn't take any dakshina. He didn't take, you have to give me half your kingdom or something. No, tell me the Bhagavatam. Because he was sincere, he recited it without expecting anything in return. But these Bhagavad Saptaha people, they have a huge fee before they'll go to even think about going somewhere to speak. And then they have opulent home and opulent weddings for their daughters and all kinds of things. But they can recite very nicely, so people. But that is not what the Bhagavatam is all about. The Bhagavatam is about hearing submissively about Krishna and learning, you know, how to be surrendered and how to serve Krishna. Of course, just hearing about Krishna's service, we want to do that all the time. Satyatam, like I said, many devotees will hear this. Well, I chant when I feel like it. You know, I don't want to be forced. If I'm forced, I don't want to force myself, but you promised it, initiation. Well, yeah, but I was immature. I didn't understand. That's not very good. The devotee is satyatam kirtayantamam. He's always chanting. He doesn't have to be forced, of course, because he just loves it. He wants to hear about Krishna. He wants to chant all the time. That if we just want to chant once in a while, it's not that person can be called a devotee. Everyone is a devotee. So if one chants the holy name even once, it's glorious. So we don't condemn someone who can't chant, you know, 64 rounds or 190 rounds. Some say you have to chant if you want to go back to Godhead. Some say you have to chant 64 rounds. But even if someone chants 64 rounds, but they're proud of it and thinking, look at all these other devotees, they only chant 16 rounds. There's no one like me, and I fast on Ekadasi, and I do Chaturmasya. They're not going to go back to Godhead. Because pride goes before the fall, but Krishna doesn't like pride. He runs away from it. The humble devotee, whether he can do anything or not, if he's just completely humble and always crying out to Krishna to please help me, that person will get all the favor of Krishna, and he'll understand the Bhagavatam. It's not understood intellectually. It's not understood by, you know, scholarship. It's understood by, you know, only by the mercy of Krishna. So even Lord Shiva said, Yo veti shuka veti, vyasa veti na veti va. When someone asked him about the Bhagavatam, He said, I might understand it, and Sukadev might understand it, and Vyasadev, maybe he understands it, maybe he doesn't. In other words, he was saying, don't think that you're a big scholar and you know Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is in the first canto, but it just gets more and more, it expands on everything. And then
the need is to hear
in the cyclic succession, to hear from a real authority, a real devotee. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada called in Hindi, in English, as it is. Tapayaka, yes, it says in Polish. Agamamana Uta in Japanese. Yatarupa in Hindi. What do you say in Russian? Takanaya. Takanaya, like Polish. Tapayaka, yeah. All those languages, it's almost the same. Even looks the same. But as it is, his purports are exactly what Krishna says, but expanding it with many people, because Krishna is noted as a great authority and the Bhagavad Gita is a great book. They say Bhagavad Gita, they even put the verses, but then their commentary is completely not Bhagavad Gita. And there's hundreds of those. And so many people, they say, oh, I've read that, but I can't understand it. But when they read Prabhupada's books, they can understand it right away. And we meet people like that all the time. I mean, many people have the book and they haven't read it. Not they want to, but you know, they're so busy. So then we have to help them, encourage them. You know, please go home and read a few pages. Because if they think they have to read the whole book, maybe they don't want to get started because they don't have time. Bhagavad Gita is not a book where you have to read the whole book. You have to can read it any time, any place, anywhere you want, for as much time as you can, even a few minutes. Srimad Bhagavatam also. But when we get serious, then we should read it, you know. That's why in our temples we read one verse every day. And I was just in one temple that was starting with the first verse, you know, they had finished after many, many years. One time Prabhupada said every verse should be studied for 3 days, then it would take 1500 years or something. Maybe he said more than 3 days. One time he said 3 days, one time he said 1 month, I think, each verse. But the point is, we have to keep hearing it and we have to apply it in our lives. To surrender everything to Krishna, to depend on Krishna. You know, we're taught everybody wants to be independent. But there's no such thing as independence. We're always dependent on Krishna. Everything we have, all the air and water and food and all these things, they all come from Krishna. Nobody can live without them. Okay, today any question? Yeah?
What is your advice if you said if you don't chant, it doesn't depend on this, I can't chant. Now, what do you do when you really don't feel that you can't chant?
Try. Many times I feel like we can't chant, but we pray to Krishna, please let me chant, and he'll help us. Or get around people who are chanting and just listen to them. If you can't chant, go someplace where there's a kirtan. Then you can hear. And if we hear enough, we'll start chanting. Right? Whatever you hear, you're going to hear chanting. So if we go outside, we can hear so many people talking. What are they talking about? You know, what they heard on the radio, you know, probably what they heard on the internet, what they heard on the television. Right? Students are talking, you know, the businessmen are talking what they heard in the stock market. But they're talking about what they heard, and devotees will hear about Krishna, then we talk about Krishna. Any other questions? In the morning? All right. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shukadev Goswami ki jai. Maharaj Prakrit Ki Jai.